Well, I would appreciate your prayer this morning. Been thinking about some thoughts I feel like the Lord inspired me with. And I wrote on the board, the beauty of God. I've been thinking a little about the beauty of God and about how that affects us and His love for us. There's something wonderful about the Lord's kindness to us and about His love to us. I want to start in Titus 3:3. It says here, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures." Anybody here ever done any of that? I'd say we have. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know, we were like that. Many of us here experience part of this or all of this. But Paul inserts a little thing, a little word here. He says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness." And he goes on to say, he didn't do it because we deserved it. He didn't do it because we worked hard enough for it. But not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know, isn't that wonderful this morning? The Lord, after that the kindness of the Lord appeared to us, He washed us and He saved us. And it wasn't because we did anything, because He shed His blood for it, and He died for it, He suffered for us before we were ever born, thousands of years before that. And so this morning, I want us to think a little bit about some of those attributes of God to us that we admire so much. Don't we admire when we see somebody that's strong enough to love someone else? Now, he says here, we were foolish one time. We were disobedient. We were deceived, and we served divers lusts and pleasures. And yet the Lord loved us. How did He do that? You know, sometimes when people offend or do us wrong, it's easy to not love them like we should, isn't it? But you know, the Lord loved us notwithstanding all, the song says. And so I want to look and I want to read a couple of songs to you, at least part of them. In our book, number 177, I want to read some of that loving kindness. It says, "Awake, my soul, to joyful lays, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise." I don't know what you think of God. And I don't know what God is to you. And I don't know what you see Him as. I don't know if you see Him as the Savior that He is, the one that cares so deeply for us. Or do we see Him as one that, I don't want to serve Him. I'm scared of Him. I don't think He has my, some way if I serve Him, He's going to take away those good things of life. You know, I don't see God that way. This song says, "Awake, my soul, to joyful lays, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song for me, His loving kindness, oh how free. Loving kindness, oh how free." The second verse says, "He saw me ruined in the fall." And so instead of taking that attitude toward you're my enemy, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, He saw me ruined. He saw my need. He looked past my hurt. He looked past who I was, and saw my need. What a Savior is that. When we say the beauty of God, when we say the loving kindness of the Lord, it's very meaningful to me. And I hope it is to you too. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. And then it goes on with the same repeat of loving kindness. Verse 3 says, though numerous host of mighty foes, though earth and hell my way oppose, he safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh how strong. You know, he doesn't forsake us in any place of our life. And his very purpose all the way through is to get us to heaven. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to be real friends with him. The Lord longs for that. And then he wants us to bring us to heaven to be with him. And how do we get this idea of God that it's otherwise when he has paid such a price? And when the Lord has reached out so deep, he's come to us in our need. And instead of judging us, he's pled with us, hasn't he? Who can here say he hasn't? Instead of laying down the line of judgment, someday he's going to do that at the judgment bar. But he has continually reached out to us, has he not? And so we see him leading us along. Though earth and hell my way oppose, he safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh how strong. Verse 4 says, when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good. You know, that's 4 of 6 verses, I think it was, but there's another song that says, oh, to be like thee, and written by Thomas O. Chisholm. But verse 1 of it says, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. You know that we admire in the Lord? The Lord longs to put that in our hearts. He wants to come and live by his Spirit in our heart, and he wants to bring along with who he is, and he wants to transform our life from that old life of being hateful and hating one another and all the issues that sin brings into life. And he wants to come and wash us and renew us and regenerate our life. And then he wants to come and dwell in our hearts with his Holy Spirit after that. And the Lord wants to fill our lives with who he is this morning. And so, gladly I'll forfeit all of life's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. The refrain says, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Do you know these are longings that we have, aren't they? That we long for the Lord in our heart like this. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. And we think, sometimes people think, how could I ever be pure? Because the Lord will make those changes in us. If we seek him with all of our heart, I'm telling you, God will make those changes in us. He'll make our heart pure. He'll make our life pure. That comes through the Lord and through his loving kindness to us. The second verse of that says, oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving and forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Verse 3 says, oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee. Verse 4, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and all and have I am bringing. Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, verse 5, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love, make me thy temple, a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. And so this morning I just want to challenge us today that the Lord has poured himself out and he has given of who he is, and he wants and longs to come into our heart and life and change who we are and make us a new creature. And not only make us a new creature, but he wants to fill us with the things that he is. And how good is that? Tell me what's wrong with a life filled with the things we've just been talking about. What is wrong with a life that's filled with mercy, with love, with forgiveness, with kindness, with all of those attributes that God has? In 1 John 3 and verse 2, we're quite familiar with this. It says here, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." How is it we can't purify ourselves? But you know, we can come to God, can't we? We can bring ourselves to the Lord that helps us, and he will purify us. He wants to give us those things that we need in life. Clark says to that, "As he is, pure, holy, and loving, so are we in this world, being saved from our sins and made like to himself in righteousness and true holiness. No man can contemplate the day of judgment with any comfort or satisfaction but on this ground, that the blood of Jesus hath cleansed him from all sin, and that he is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. This will give him boldness in the day of judgment." And so we're all coming to that day, and we know that. There's only one thing going to give us boldness in that day, and that's to have that Spirit of the Lord within our heart and his workings within us. And so John says here, "Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." And then he says, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." So that is my little challenge to us this morning. Let's allow God, let's work with the Lord, because he wants to add into our lives things that that as we go along, they make us like the Lord. The attributes of the Lord that we love so much, he wants to put deep within our lives and burn them into us and make us who in his likeness. So maybe we'll look at Colossians 3 and 12. We mentioned this scripture the other day in marriage, in the little marriage thing. And we'd like to enlarge on that a little bit this morning. Not just for marriage, but for everything. Colossians 3, if you want a chapter that'll tell you everything you need to get to heaven, it's about all in that chapter. It tells you what, how to get there. It tells you what to do, and it tells you what not to do if you want to get there. And so I love this chapter. It's part of the, I believe it's the recipe of life is found in Colossians 3. And so when you look at the 12th verse, it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness." The song that we just sang, contributing all these things, or attributing all these things to God, Paul tells us, put them on. Like a cloak, put them on. Wrap them around your life. Try them out. Put them in and add them. And keep adding. And keep growing in these things. It's a vital part of our life. We look at the Lord, we want to be more like Him, don't we? Well, let's look at these things and let's think about them just a little bit. It says here, you put on, put your coat on, put these things on, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies. You know, we live in a world today and the scripture tells us, Paul tells us that toward the end of time, people will be, they'll be implacable. They'll be unmerciful, hard to deal with. You know what? That's the world around us, but we're not to be that way at all. He tells us here in Colossians, put on bowels of mercies, a whole heart full of mercies. Look at other people in the way that you see their need. And you know what will shine through us when we do that? That's the love of Jesus that shines through us. That's His attributes. And so we begin to put these things on. Kindness, it says. You know, let's try it on. I'm not saying we don't, but let's try it on for a little better fit. Kindness. I was thinking about, this little Aesop's fable about the wind and the sun. We've all heard that. And, you know, they had a little argument, the wind and the sun did, which one was stronger. You ever heard this, children? And so they saw a man traveling on a road, and they decided to have a challenge. Which one could make him take his coat off the fastest? Well, the wind began to blow, and it blew, and it blew. And the harder it blew, the more the man pulled his coat around him. And he went on. And after he couldn't have any success like that. He tried his hardest. He blew and blew. Well, I know this is just a fable, but you know what? After a while, the sun's turn was there, and he began to shine his beams upon this man. And you know what? In a little bit, the man just takes his coat off. You know what, folks? Sometimes kindness, sometimes gentle persuasion might be a really nice change for us. Sometimes maybe even in our home, maybe in our marriage, maybe on our job, we've tried and tried and tried to bear down and push and heart. You know what? Maybe sometimes we could try a different approach. Maybe we could throw some forgiveness into the mix and forget the offenses that we're trying to push and just plain outright forgive. And just plainly be kind. And just plainly do some really nice things instead of all those things that we could do. You know, the Lord did that for us, didn't He? While we were yet sinners, we had not repented. We had not made any steps toward Him. But while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Now, this is talking about, I'm speaking of the beauty of God. And the beauty of God wants to live in our lives and wants to live out through us. And so as we put these things on, John calls it, Peter calls it adding to your faith. So these things are something that we have to allow the Lord to put into us. We come along and there's a bump somewhere. It's easy for us to say, I told you so, isn't it? But maybe the better thing would be to forgive and to be kind and help someone at that time. Try a different approach. Try a different jacket on. It might do wonders for us. The color of it might be so pristinely beautiful that we never dreamed what it would entail. He says here, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. You know, I've just had to humble my mind a lot of times, folks. You just think you're right. I do. I think I'm right. You probably think you're right too, lots of times. And you know what? Sometimes we just have to humble our And we have to humble our mind. We have to humble our, if we are going to allow the Lord to do His work. And His work is that he reaches to other people, and that's what we do. And that other people might be living right next to us in our own house. And so we begin to look at these things closely. Okay, Lord, this is who you are. Help me to put those things on too. Maybe I could try this for size and see how it works. For bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. If I challenge, every time I read that word in Scripture, I want to challenge us all. Study the word meekness. Do a study on it. Get in your little book or in your computer or on your phone and find all the places it talks about meekness in the Bible. And begin to study what that means. That's a real humbling of ourselves is what it is. It's a real being gentle in the face of being attacked. That's not easy, is it? But you know what? The Lord wants us to put on something different than we had before. We were all kinds of things, but he's wanting us to put some things into our life that will really bless us. Meekness and long suffering. And that means you bear with something a long time. You just put up with it a long time. That's what long suffering is. And that's not easy to do, is it? But it's so valuable in our life. And it's so valuable in our relationships. And it's so valuable if you're trying to win somebody to the Lord. Forbearing one another. Remember when Brother McMillan, Brother Veda one time told us that we needed, what did he say, two bears in our marriage, to forbear and to bear with. And so he mentioned the scripture here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Folks, if we are going to be able to love, we have to forgive first. And I find that many times, folks, we forgive on the surface but not underneath. And the Lord wants us to truly forgive. That means we move on. That means we can love now. That means we can show acts of kindness. We can do that with our whole heart because there's not something stopping us from it. That's what unforgiveness does. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Just like he forgave you. You didn't deserve it, but he did. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And we know that that could take a lifetime to understand the depths and never quit digging and never quit finding the depths of charity and love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so when we see these things, folks, and he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, that's God. That's who he is. That's his words. That's who he is. That's a definition of the Lord. The scriptures tell us God is love. And he says, let that word dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So this morning, I don't have a lot this morning, I don't think. But I will tell you, folks, I believe the few words that's been already read here are of immense value. What we've already found, if we'll put these in place, if we'll learn, take this Colossians and read it over and over. I've read it many times. I will tell you, apply it in our lives. It'll bring peace to us. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You want to enjoy life? Let the peace of God rule. It's pretty nice when the peace of God rules in your heart. We know in 2 Peter 1, we know that that is where the Lord tells us, where Peter tells us to add things into our life. Maybe we'll just read those right quick. But 2 Peter 1 and 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The Lord has called us to glory and to manliness, to strength. And so he says here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know, if we'll add these things in our lives, folks, it'll transform our lives. When we come to see the Lord, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is, and we'll find that we're like him. And to knowledge temperance, it gives a little different list here on some of this, but temperance is a wonderful attribute. It'll keep us out of a lot of ills in our life, a lot of problems, a lot of health problems. It'll keep us out of a lot of family problems. If we'll add these things to our life, temper ourselves, temper our flesh on every line, on every hand, it'll be a blessing to us. Just learn from the Lord. And he says, to temperance, patience. Who doesn't need a little more of that? And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And I want to comment just a minute on that blind part. He that lacketh these things, the man that doesn't put these things into his life and allow God to work in this way, is blind. He doesn't see the hurt that he does. He doesn't see where he is with the Lord. He's blind. But he says, listen to this. And cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. There's something about growth within our life that is so valuable. It sends roots down to the Lord. It sends roots down whereby we drink of his grace. It leafs out. And we find that when we give diligence like that, our life begins to prosper in the Lord. I believe that, and I've heard many times, our faith is very closely linked to our obedience. And so as we humble ourselves before the Lord and allow him, and I think many times we struggle because we don't allow him. We struggle in our own strength. And what we really need to be doing is struggling to get close to the Lord. Somebody was telling me, in fact, Sister Maxine was telling me just yesterday or day before how that she was, anyway, she'd had a wreck or something. I think she had had a wreck or something. And she said Brother Ed and maybe Brother Archie came to pray for her. And when Brother Ed saw the gravity of the situation, he had to go pray first before he prayed for her. And she said, here I was in this awful shape, but he went to pray first. And she said, it was a while before everything came together. But then the Lord just instantly touched that issue, whatever it was. And you know, this morning, many times we fight it. We struggle. We do those things when really, folks, we need to go pray first. We need to get a hold of the grace of God, whereby he can direct our mouth. He can direct our kindness from our heart. He can direct us. He can empower us to truly forgive. And you know, when it's like that, our life prospers. And I want to pretty well leave us with that little challenge this morning, that the Lord wants us to have beauty in our lives. That beauty is the Lord. It's not within us. It's not because we climbed a ladder. It's not because we worked on ourselves just in our strength until we got to a certain place. Folks, that beauty that God has, that we love, that transformed our lives, that we run to when we're in trouble, that beauty He wants to live within our hearts today. So the Lord help us. 1 John, I want to read one more. At least 1 John 4 and 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." You know, it is from the Lord that we receive love. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And you know, you read back over there in Jesus' last prayer in the 17th chapter of John, and you find where Jesus was longing for his disciples to be one. Folks, that translates into our homes. It translates into where we are at. Every one of us, this is for us this morning. When Jesus was praying, he said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The Lord purchased this. And he said, the glory that you have given me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. This is a gift from God. This is a piece of his beauty that he wants to put into our lives this morning. And I urge us all, you can go as far and as deep as you want. And why not? Is there anything that's not beautiful about love? Is there anything that's not beautiful about forgiveness? Oh, it takes a death to the flesh. It takes a real death to ourself. But you know what? When that happens, life begins to sprout forth. And that is beautiful. The fruits of it taste good. It's a beautiful thing. And reading on verse 23, it says, "I in them and thou in me." And that's the way it works. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Do you know this morning, that's the way I believe the world really knows who we are. By the spirit that we have within us. The spirit of love, the spirit of true forgiveness, the spirit of growth, the spirit of strength, of grace in our lives. Those things come from the Lord, don't they? So the Lord help us this morning that we grow in the things of God, that our fruit will be bigger and more lush. The fruits of the Spirit come when you get the Spirit. But I will tell you this, I believe the Lord expects us to use those in so many areas of our life until those fruits get bigger and better all through our life. We become more and more gentle. We become more and more loving. We become more and more forgiving like the Lord does. That comes through the Spirit of God living within us, because that is what the Lord has. That is what God is. And he wants to put that in our lives. And folks, if you've ever had the beauty of the Lord in your life, I want to tell you, that's what your heart longs for. The beauty of the Lord in our heart. That's what it longs for. That's what our heart longs for. That's what completes life. That's what makes our marriage able to be good, in spite of the fact that it would be bad without the Lord. That's what makes it that way. That's what makes us able as a people, though we are so different and we have all kinds of differences. If we'll take this path, we'll have unity. we'll have really, really good unity because it comes from the Lord. It comes from His working within each of our hearts. And then we have fellowship one with another, don't we? You pray for me.